There are around 25,800 transgender adults in Indiana, according to the UCLA Williams Institute. That's just under half of 1% of the state. While legislation in recent years has targeted trans youth, older transgender adults contend with both growing visibility and rising hostility. Ethan Sandwise speaks with Hoosiers in their 40s through 70s about living trans in the state. Legislation in Indiana in the past few years has banned gender-affirming care for state inmates. A federal court struck down a 2023 law that would have banned affirming care for minors.
Jean Smith grew up in Peru, Indiana, long before sex and gender were discussed in public.
So I thought, well, God, this is just a sin, and I need to try harder, and it's just me. And it wasn't until later that I realized that this has been through history.
Rachel Jones came of age as an observant Mennonite in Brown County. She came of age in a religious community and had nobody with whom she could share her experience.
My earliest memories, this was a battle. I mean, 3 years old, this was a battle. Just no one knew.
Rebecca Haviland was raised by a conservative family in Salem.
It was very confusing for me as a little kid because no one was explaining to me why I was being attacked.
For transgender youth living before the internet, there was hardly any information available for them to understand their identity. They scoured dictionaries, textbooks, and porno magazines. Veronica Pedrell is the first openly transgender elected official in Indiana history. Like Jones and Smith, she was married before her transition and presenting as male.
After a football game, I'd go home and cry because I wasn't wearing pads rather than being part of the cheer squad.
Like Jones, she was married before her transition and presenting as male. Others like Haviland risked harassment and abuse by presenting openly as trans from a young age.
Even if only privately to themselves, they intuitively understand this is just what the kid is. Even if they don't understand beating the child without ever explaining why.
Researchers coined the term transgender in 1965, but until the 1990s they were mainly referred to as transsexual. Transgender Hoosiers sought community within gay and lesbian spaces in cities such as Indianapolis, Bloomington, and South Bend.
We had a bar called Bullwinkle's before it moved to West 5th, West 3rd. It was downtown in a little building, and I would go there.
These encounters with queer culture were often discreet. Trans adults worried about the reaction from their communities, especially in rural parts of Indiana.
My ex-wife had told a girlfriend of ours, and no one knew. And she was drunk at a party, and it was just too juicy for her to contain, and so she told everyone.
For transgender people in Indiana prisons, the situation could be even more dire. Haviland spent nearly 30 years incarcerated. Until the 2012 Prison Rape Elimination Act, all trans women were housed with male inmates, a practice that still continues in some places today.
Sometimes you would have staff or gang members like, okay, let's move this trainee over from this working housing unit, put them in a dorm controlled by their gang, just for sport.
Despite the risks, many trans Hoosiers choose to live openly as their gender, navigating life among both left-leaning and conservative friends.
I've done my best, especially since getting elected in 2019, to be out and representing in places that aren't always so familiar.
After she was outed, Jones opened Rachel's Cafe, one of the most visibly queer spaces in Bloomington. She continues to live among friends and neighbors she's known her whole life.
Things have changed so much. And growing up thinking how my life would be ruined if anyone knew in Brown County, and now I walk down the street and somebody honks that's driving by because they're a friend, who'd have thought?
I believe that in their minds, I'm kind of their token. You know, trans people in general are like, you know, make them feel uncomfortable, but they're okay with me.
Jones and Haviland describe acceptance by friends and family who still espouse transphobic ideas on social media. Haviland says that in spite of greater visibility, not much has changed from the perspective of a trans woman living without secure housing.
I never experienced so much bigotry, so much conservative bigotry in Bloomington until I was out pounding the street every single day, trying to get a job.
The political landscape is changing. While transgender Hoosiers are living visibly in a way that many never felt possible, recent legislation in Indiana and other states has them worried for the future.
I've thought of places out of the country that would be a place to go, but I have a community here, and a lot of my friends are politically right-wing.
But even though they've thought about leaving, many would rather stay and fight.
Well, of course I have, and then on the other hand, of course, why should I? I mean, I've been a pride warrior my whole life, and I got the scars to prove it.
Pedro is now running for Indiana Senate. She wants young transgender people to enter politics, not just to defend their own rights, but to advocate for causes they care about beyond their gender identity.
I love this community too much to leave here. I love this state too much to leave here.
For WFIU News, I'm Ethan Sandweiss.